Please open your Bibles to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. While you're locating that, I might say that last week I started some messages from this book of 1 Thessalonians. Hopefully we can at least address some of the significant doctrines and teachings that we have here in the Word of God. I hope you have come to church today to receive what the Lord would have you to receive. I hope that the Word can speak to you today. I know it can, as humans cannot do. And so I hope that you will be receptive to what we have here in the message today. The topic, remembering and rejoicing. So along with what I shared with you last week, keep that in mind if you will. We're going to read this scripture, and then I want to share some things with you and ask you to notice that Paul remembered. We all remember some things as best we can. Paul remembered his relationship with these people in Thessalonica. He rejoiced at their lives of Christianity. And that's a good thing to have in the world today, to remember in a positive way the good things about Christians in their lives. But I ask you to please follow with me, and I want to read these 10 verses in chapter 1 and then share some other information with you. The Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Great words of scripture we have right there. May I say to you, for some by way of reminder, that this book in the Bible, this book in the New Testament, was an epistle or a letter that became part of the canon of Scripture. And you can see that Paul identified himself as the author. He also identified his co-laborers, Silvanus or Silas and Timothy. The letter was written probably around 52 to 54 A.D. And some may think it to be one of Paul's earliest writings. Now, what about the people? The people lived in a city that was very notable in its day. And one of the few cities, along with Rome, it's one of the cities that's still in existence today. You might look on the map or look it up and find it to be Thessaloniki in Greece. But Thessalonica was on what was called the Great Ignatian Way, which was a major travel route across northern Greece. And so a lot of people came through there. It was a port city. And so a lot of people traveled that way. And they had a lot of population there. And so because of its geographical position, it was a very significant place. It was a picturesque place. It was guarded on two sides by extremely high mountains, and those ridges were there. Now, what about the people? The people that were in this Thessalonian church were Greeks, Romans, Jews, but they lived in a place, along with many others in the world, where idolatry was very prevalent. I mean, idolatry was on every hand. And that is not a new subject when you look at the Bible. You can look in the Old Testament. You can look in the New Testament. And the principle is there. The examples are there of people worshiping man-made gods, of worshiping false gods, not the true God of heaven. Well, God used the Apostle Paul to reach many people. Paul preached the gospel several times in the Thessalonian synagogue, and as a result of that, a tremendous church was organized. And the good thing about it is this, those people, early in their Christianity, were taking it seriously. I wonder if we take ours seriously. They were taking it seriously. They were apparently growing in Christ. They were doing what they could. They were doing what they needed to do in the work of the Lord. And so as God inspired this for Paul to write to them, you can see several things in there. The information should have confirmed them in their faith, emphasizing those foundational truths that they had already been taught. It should have exhorted them or encouraged them to go on and live holy lives and to give them comfort concerning their loved ones that had already died. So there's a lot of good information in there. We can see the greeting. We can see grace. We can see gratitude. We can see the gospel. We can see growth. We can see gladness. We can see glory. And so a lot of good information we have. Don't we know that the Bible was written a long time ago, but the words are written for our benefit even today? I do believe that we serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. He's the creator of all, and he has seen to it that we have the Word of God in written form today. And so we have the Scripture, and people may not want to give attention to it, but their lives are better off if they do. Have you ever experienced that? If you pay attention to the book of God, it will help you more than any other book you might have. Let me tell you, I got a lot of books. I got more than I can read. But there's nothing that takes the place of the Word of God. There's nothing that has the meaning that the Word of God has. There's nothing that gives you blessing like the Word of God can. Now, I can read some good things that pertain to the Bible sometimes, but I hope you get the point. The Bible should get our attention. So Paul named his co-laborers, and apparently he was not jealous of them. And people need to certainly work harmoniously to do what God wants them to do. But I will emphasize to you again that this church of the Thessalonians was built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the way it's still supposed to be with churches today. The Bible says, "Oh, the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the way it needs to be. That's the way it needs to be. Paul wished grace and peace to those people in the church. He acknowledged that even that came from the Lord. Do you know that we can be peaceful people? We can be gracious people. But we are not the originators of grace and peace. It's possible for us because God makes it possible. That's the way it works right there. And so Paul was thankful for those people. He prayed for them consistently, and that's a good thing to do. He really did, and he remembered how they had a work of faith. They had a labor of love. They had a patience of hope. He even acknowledged the fact that it was inside of God the Father. Do you know the Bible still says, this is sobering, the Bible still says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, if you take that as we should, that means God is aware of anything I might do that's wrong. But on the positive side, he's aware of what I might do or you might do that's good. Even if other people don't recognize it, God's records are accurate. And he knows if you've given a cup of cold water in his name. He knows if you've contacted somebody that was sick. He knows if you invited somebody to come to church. He knows if you tried to witness to somebody about the gospel of Christ. Do we understand what we're talking about? I hope that we do. God knows all these things. And Paul acknowledged that you are living for the Lord in the sight of God. That's a great compliment right there. It really is. It certainly is. And he mentioned how they were in the elect of God. And I've talked about that. I believe that the Bible, in using the terms election and predestination and foreknowledge, still when you put all that with the gospel of grace, people have the opportunity to either receive or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you find that in more than one place by way of teaching, because even John 3:16 says that whosoever, modern English, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the way to heaven. You don't work your way to heaven. Somebody might say, "Well, I've been hearing that all my life." It's still true. You don't work your way to heaven. If you tried, you wouldn't make it. Neither would I. Amen. Salvation is the gift of God. And so that's what happened in these people's lives. They heard the gospel and they believed. And you know, we have a lot of religions in the world. We have a lot of denominations in what we call Christianity. There are differences, but may I say to you with all due kindness to everybody in every group, if you go into heaven, you got to go through Christ. He's the way. Jesus is still the answer. He said very plainly, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And you don't come to the Father unless you come through me. And so if you've never put your faith in Christ, that childlike faith, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you love me and that Jesus died to pay for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe all that, and I want to ask you to forgive my sins and come into my life. Be my Savior. If you've never done it, today's the day you ought to do it. Today's the day because it makes a difference in people's lives. How many of us know people that have gone out into eternity? You might think, well, that's a foolish question. Don't we all know somebody that's already gone out into eternity? Then the next question would be, do we know if they knew the Lord? Do we know if they were saved? Sometimes we may have an idea that sounds good, and we may have an idea that gives us real reason to wonder. So today's the day to be saved if you don't know Christ. It's good that these Thessalonian people heard the gospel and they believed. And the gospel still works. You may look around in society, even in our country, and see all the bad stuff that's going on. There's plenty of it, but that's not the focus of the message today. There's plenty of it, but bad didn't start yesterday. Bad didn't start when we were children. Bad has been around for a long, long time. The details vary, and God doesn't approve of the bad, but he's stronger than the bad. And the gospel is stronger than all the other junk that's going on in the world today. The gospel of Christ can still change lives. The gospel, and I'm very serious, can turn people's lives around like nothing else can do. And there are many people that can testify as to what God has done in their lives. They may have tried this. They may have tried that. They may have gone here. They may have gone there. They were searching. They were looking for meaning. They were looking for answers in life. And they never found them, and they never will until they went, until others go to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one that is the author of eternal life. He's the author of salvation, and he can change your life like no one else ever could. Let me ask you this before I dig in a little more here. Have you ever known someone, perhaps yourself, that used to have a filthy mouth, used to be a drunkard, maybe used to be a drug addict, maybe used to just live as wild as a person could live, and that life has been turned around, and you know the reason is because that person became a Christian. Not just in name, but in reality. That person put faith in Christ, and Jesus changed that life. Is that biblical? Yes, indeed. Now, you may look around and see by way of testimony that it's real, but the Bible says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation.
Amen.
He changes your life, and that's what people need to know. That's what they need to know. And so Paul had all this going on. And in verse 5, let me point out some things. If you will look at verse 5 in this chapter, please. In verse number 5, Paul said, our gospel. Now, he was talking about himself and his co-laborers. He said, our gospel. Oh, may I say to you that our gospel was God's gospel. And I think Paul meant exactly that. The gospel of Christ. It was his only because he experienced it by the grace of God. And by the way, that's the gospel that's preached today by every minister that's true to God's word. And it's taught by every Bible teacher that's true to God's word. We don't need another gospel. We have the perfect gospel.
Amen.
Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And that's what Paul told the Corinthian church comprises the gospel whereby we're saved, unless your belief's not worth anything, unless your belief is in vain. So I believe that Paul and Silas were very conscious of the power of the Holy Spirit in proclaiming the gospel. I believe they were. And the gospel was delivered to those Thessalonians in power. Now, think about that with me. It's one thing for somebody named Paul to talk to the people and even give them the truth. But it's another thing when he did it with the power of God behind what he had to say. And so he said the gospel came not in word only. I hope we all get that point right there. Not just in what I'm saying to you, but also in how it came to you. It came in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And I understand that that word assurance has the meaning full assurance of the understanding. And so Paul was making it very plain to them that the gospel was important, but it wasn't the gospel just of Paul. It wasn't the gospel of Silas. It wasn't the gospel of Timothy. It was the gospel of Christ. Now, may I ask you, have you believed that gospel somewhere along the line? Have you believed it? Have you believed it? Oh, listen, some of us may have had the opportunity, I have a couple of times in my early life, to preach in rescue missions. And typically the people that might come to those services are people that are down and out. And they may have a lot of issues going on in their lives. But you know, it doesn't matter if you're in a rescue mission or if you're still on the street or if you're from the finest house in town, everybody needs Jesus. Amen. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Everybody needs Jesus. And if you don't know him, I'm telling you, today's the day you need to trust him. And somebody might say, well, I've already heard that. Listen, what if Jesus comes today? Or what if you should walk out of here and never make it home and you go out into eternity? Where are you going? Are you going to heaven or to hell? In case you want to know, I don't have all that written down, but I think it's worthy of our attention today. All right. So Paul talked about our gospel came to you in that way. Do you know that Paul told the Corinthian church, let me read to you. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Think about that. There are some people in religion. There are some people in politics and maybe other realms of life. They are very well spoken. They may have great oratorical skills. But Paul told the Corinthians, I didn't come to you with enticing words. That's not how my speech and my preaching came to you. He said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. May I submit to you, that's what we still need today. I think we can apply that, whether it's the preacher at the pulpit, like I'm trying to talk to you right now, or whether it's a teacher in a class, or whether you're talking to somebody one-on-one out here, who knows where. If we have the Lord as our strength and our help, and we're sharing the truth, but it's with the power of Christ, that's a whole lot better than thinking we can handle it all by ourselves, because we can't. We need the power of God behind the gospel, just like Paul emphasized to those people right there. Think with me. The devil fights what is right, but the gospel still has that power to change lives. And Paul reminded these Thessalonian people that for their own good, that he and his co-laborers had shared that life-changing gospel with them. Someone said that the Thessalonians had seen that what Paul, Silas, and Timothy were preaching was true because these men had lived it. Haven't we heard so many times in life, it's not what you say, it's what you do, or something similar? There's a lot of validity to that. Because if you talk Christianity but you don't walk it, any of us, it's not going to have the same message to the world out there. It's really not. They might forget everything you say unless it's something bad. I'm glad y'all didn't miss that. They might forget everything you say unless it's something bad, but they will remember what you do, good or bad. Let's think about the good. If you witness to people, they might not be too interested, but they may remember you tried to tell them about the love of God and about salvation through Christ. So they saw in the lives of people. You know, the same thing was true with Peter and John. The Bible tells us that people looked at them and they could tell they weren't really educated people, but they could tell they'd been with Jesus. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Someone asked this question. It's got two C words. Begin with the letter C. I hope you'll remember this question. Does your life, it could be me too, does your life confirm or contradict what you believe? May I repeat that question? Believe it will. Does your life confirm or contradict what you believe? We could probably give many examples. And we should never deal with hatred toward anyone, even somebody that's really gone astray. We could probably give many examples, but just give thought to this. If somebody says, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. And I'm a healthy person. I enjoy life. And that person never, never, never goes to church. Something doesn't match too well. Now, you may say, well, that's just your opinion. I think it's a valid one. You can disagree. But I'm just saying it doesn't match very well. All right. In verse 6, Paul said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Do you know that when he said you became followers, that meant that they were imitators, not in some flippant, casual way with no meaning, but this was in a good way. These Thessalonian believers were looking to Paul and these others as examples. They were following them, imitating them in a good way. Why do we know that? Because he said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. That makes all the difference right there. You were following us and the Lord. Following the wrong people in the wrong way can get you in trouble. How many times have we heard? How many times did your parents and grandparents hear it? That so-and-so got in trouble because he started running with the wrong crowd. Doesn't the devil love it when people's lives get messed up? Absolutely. So may I say again that which we know to be true. If you follow the wrong people in the wrong way, it'll get you in trouble. But here's the other side of that old proverbial coin. Following the right people the right way can provide spiritual help. Now, I want you to think on this. When he said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, that's like what Paul told the Corinthian church. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I want to really emphasize that. Some of you may have heard me emphasize it before. Paul told the Corinthians, you follow me. But he didn't say, you follow me blindly. He didn't say, I'm the big voice. I'm the big one that counts. And it doesn't matter what you think. You just do what I say. He was not saying that as some iron-fisted dictator who was straying from the truth of God because he said, you follow me. You be a follower of me even as I also am of Christ. I think it's the same principle when he told the Corinthian church, you follow me as I follow Christ, as he told the Thessalonians, you became followers of us and of the Lord. So he was giving them good credit for following what was right. Now, if you take all that and condense it, you pour it in the funnel, let it come out the bottom, what are we saying? Just do your best to live for God. I don't know how to put it much more basically than that. Do your best to live for God. And even then, we can find ourselves falling short. And so he said in the last part of that verse, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. So they had this going on, but they received that word. They were following the right way, but there were some troubles going on. You know, that's another thing the devil will do. He will try to give people a hard time when they're trying to live for God. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many here today have ever had a hard time. You look back on, you know the devil's just trying to work on you. But hopefully you can say the Lord brought me through. And so they had some affliction. They had some tribulation going on. They had severe persecution marking the path they were called to follow as they walked with Christ. But they received that word how? I told you about remembering and rejoicing. Paul was remembering and sharing these things with these people as he wrote to them. But they had joy in their lives in spite of what was going on because that joy came from the Spirit of God. May I say to you, when people genuinely serve God, joy can overcome affliction. Amen. Now, somebody might say, well, that sounds good. How do you know? I believe the principles of the Scripture. Does that mean that I've never had a hard time and handled it the wrong way? I'm not saying that. How many here have always handled everything the right way? But I am saying that this is what the Lord can do. If you have a tough time, if you have a time of affliction in some kind of way, some kind of persecution, some kind of trouble, God can help you. And joy can override that affliction. You can be happy in the middle of a storm, if your happiness is based in the Lord. Is that true? Absolutely. It really is. And so when people genuinely serve God, that joy is available. Someone said the Holy Spirit enabled Paul to preach with power, and the same Holy Spirit enabled the Thessalonians to receive his message and believe with joy, even though they suffered great affliction. Now let me read this to you. In times of pain, persecution or suffering. Now let me pause right there. You ever had any of that? In times of pain, persecution, or suffering. Now, this statement is based on the fact that sometimes it happens. So I'm going to start it again. In times of pain, persecution, or suffering, trust confidently in Christ. And that is helpful, folks, if we can trust in the Lord. And so Paul gave them credit for receiving the gospel and following what was right. And then in verse 7, he said, so that you became examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. These Thessalonian people became Christian examples to other believers. Now, what is an example? An example is a pattern. It's a type. It shows how things ought to be. And so they were so dedicated and consecrated to their Christianity that their example of Christian living had affected all the believers in Macedonia, Achaia, and throughout that part of the known world. Do you know what Paul wrote to Timothy, the same Timothy that's mentioned here on another occasion? Paul wrote to Timothy, who apparently was younger than Paul, like his son in the ministry, his son in the faith. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And he listed ways. He said, Timothy, you be an example. And by the way, that's not limited to a certain age group, is it? He said, you be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So I would ask you today, do we realize that God wants us to be good examples? Amen. I hope we do. In verse 8, he said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in these places, Macedonia and Achaia, but also everywhere else. In every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. Think on this verse with me. Sounding out the word. This may have no meaning to you, but I had the privilege many years ago of preaching at a church. They had a ministry. I was the guest speaker, and they had a ministry called Sounding Out the Word. And I've remembered that all through the years. Sounding out the word. That's what these people were doing, and that's what we do when we preach and when we teach and when we witness to people. You may be talking to somebody in your neighborhood. You may be somewhere else. I'm trying to be fair and objective here. It's not all just the pulpit preaching. That has its place, I believe, biblically. And teaching has its place biblically. But witnessing does too. And so all of that, we sound out the word. And you know what Paul was pretty much saying? He said, people have learned about you. By the way, they learn about us too. They just learn the bad faster than the good. Well, that's the way it seems to be. People learn. Now, considering that Thessalonica was this port city on that well-traveling nation way, you know what very likely happened? People would travel through there, and they would come in contact with some of these people that were in that church, and their lives had been changed to the point people took notice of how they were living. And then they go tell other people. Do you know that even in the age of satellites and internet, word of mouth is still a great, powerful form of communication?
Amen.
I mean, you know, if you won't know what's going on, just ask the right one.
Right.
Is that vague enough? Because word spreads. Word spreads. Okay? You might find out before you knew yourself what something you did. Now, I know that one doesn't make good sense, but word spreads. It really does.
Amen.
Word spreads. And so, in a good way, people had heard. And so, Paul was basically saying, we don't really need to say anything about your lives of faith because everybody knows. Folks, that's a good testimony right there. Does that mean those people in the Thessalonian church were perfect? Well, no. Who can be? Only the Lord is perfect. But they were on the right track. And there are a lot of people today need to get on the right track. Some never been on it, and some got on it and got off. You know anybody like that? I suspect many of us do. All right. So, I want to read this to you. It goes right along with this. Someone wrote these words. There is no need. In other words, it's sort of like Paul's talking. There is no need for us to tell the story of your glorious conversion, your full surrender and dedication to the ministry of the gospel of grace. For we hear of it on all sides. Everywhere we go, people are talking about the conversion of the Thessalonians and of how you have bravely, untiringly, and unhesitatingly sounded out your testimony for Christ concerning His finished work and redemption by faith in His shed blood. Therefore, here's the last sentence in this quotation. Therefore, there is no need for us to say anything. The news has already spread like wildfire. So that was a good thing to say about the Thessalonian people. So remember that, if you will. When Paul talked about them sounding out the word of the Lord. He's talking about them following the right things, the right people, and they were good examples, and they were such good examples that people took notice of their lives. And so Paul basically said, there's nothing more I can say about how you're living for the Lord because everybody's already learned. Wouldn't that be great if everybody could look at us and say, you can fill in the blank with a name. Oh, so-and-so over there or young so-and-so over there must be a real Christian because that person really is doing some good things trying to live for the Lord. Wouldn't that be a good testimony? It really would. Do you know the Bible still says to preach the word? And so, one more emphasis before I go to the next verse. Teaching, preaching, and witnessing are still important. Now, when he talked about people knowing about how they were living in verse 8, he goes on in verse 9 to say, for they themselves. So, the they, in other words, the word they, refers to what people? The people of Macedonia, the people of Achaia, the people that Paul said in every place were involved there. In other words, ordinary people were declaring their view. They were giving their impressions of the Thessalonian believers. And what did they know? They knew that they had turned to God from idols and that they were serving the living and true God. We need to remember, understanding that many of you probably never doubted it, but we need to remember in our world today that there is only one true God. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of the Bible. And these Thessalonians had turned from idols to God. And I want us to not miss the opportunity to make an application here because life is short and death is sure. One of these days, life as we know it now will be gone. And they turn from idols. And I would say to you, that's what the world still needs for people to turn from idols. But somebody I know could come along and say, well, now I don't have any statues in my house, and I'm not worshiping anything but the Lord. But the point is this, they turn from idols. What do people need to turn from today? Because it's all in the category of being away from God if you don't know Christ as your Savior. People need to turn from the old life and receive the new life that the Lord can provide. They need to turn from the bad ways and receive that eternal life as the gift of God. And so if there's anybody here today that's never put your faith in Christ, obviously I'm trying to encourage you to do that. It's not a matter of what is your religious heritage or what is your denominational affiliation. All those things have their place in discussion. But the thing is, do you know Jesus? Have you put your faith in Christ as your Savior? It makes all the difference. Don't we, many of us, know people that went out into eternity at a very early age? Isn't that sobering enough to tell us we don't know when our time will come? We don't know when the time of others will come. So the Bible still says now is the day of salvation. Now is that opportunity. But Paul said these people are showing in their lives what they had done. They had turned from these idols and they were serving the true God. And you may notice that they turned and they served and they waited. When you go to verse 10, they turned to God. They served God and they waited for his son to return because he said to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we need to be waiting, but we also need to be working and watching, don't we? We ought not to be just sitting around doing nothing, saying, well, the Lord's going to come back someday. Well, that's true. According to the Bible, he'll come back someday, but we need to be doing all those things, working and watching and waiting. And these Thessalonians were waiting not for something insignificant, but they were waiting for God's Son from heaven. And I want you to not miss the fact that they were waiting for the return of the Son of God. And Paul emphasized here in this verse that the Son of God was Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. And Paul stated that Jesus had delivered them, and I believe has delivered us, from the wrath to come. Now, let me comment on that. The wrath to come. Believers are not children of wrath because the Lord has delivered us from the penalty of sin. We are not appointed unto wrath, but we are given eternal salvation. And so here's what I believe matches the Bible. If you are saved by the grace of God, then you will not experience God's wrath as it pertains to suffering in hell. because you have chosen to put your faith in Christ. And I believe that we'll also not experience the wrath of the great tribulation that's coming someday. People can debate a lot of things, but I believe that God has delivered the Thessalonians and has delivered us, even though it's yet future, when we go out to eternity. It might be soon, it might not be. But I believe that God, by giving us salvation, has delivered us from all that that might be called the wrath to come. There's a lot in the scripture. There's a lot in this message. I'm about to wrap up for today. With the help of the Lord, I could talk longer. I don't know if you want to listen longer, but there's a lot of good information in the scripture. I want to encourage everybody, let the Bible talk to you. And when people try to preach and teach, it's the message of God that's what's important. Let the Bible talk to you. Even when you're not at church, let the Bible talk to you. And it can help you. It really can. So let me close out this message by reminding us that this chapter shows that Paul remembered. He knew. He remembered his relationship with these Thessalonian people. I believe he loved them. And he was able to remember, not in a bad way, because of the good, positive things in their lives. He was able to remember with rejoicing the good things about those believers and that church in Thessalonica. The scripture, even today, ought to remind us of God's goodness and give us cause for rejoicing. May I say one more time, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, then please put your faith in Him today. If you don't know how to do that, it's not complicated. We can talk to you. We can help you. And may I speak to the Christians. If you are a Christian, meaning you have your faith in Christ as your Savior, please remember that faithfulness is still important. Yes. Let's stand together, please, and bow our heads for prayer.